I'm Alan Kogan. Join me as I highlight small businesses with interviews on site at distilleries, breweries, and more. My mission is to share the stories of the awesome people behind the craft. Welcome to Crafted Conversations. All right, well, Mike Dolly here with you at the headquarters of the Bar Book. First of all, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
I've been here before for a tasting event. You guys do a lot of those, which is I look forward to more, of course. But tell me about yourselves and tell me a little bit about Bar Book.
So both recently retired out of the military and combined together somewhere around 45 years total.
So you're calling us old?
Oh, gosh, I'm not calling us old. Okay. I said combined. We didn't do it all.
Yeah, well. He's calling us old. Okay.
So, yeah, finished out of the military and, you know, kind of as I was ending my career, I started talking a little bit with friends and family about different flavors and bourbons and beer and things like that. And I was looking for a way to, you know, kind of collect it, find a way to keep some notes on that stuff. And I had no idea what I was doing.
That's a true statement.
Somebody here has a much better palate than I do and can tell me the distinct differences in certain things. I know what I like and what I don't like, but I couldn't tell you whether it's, you know, has that much more of an oaky flavor, vanilla flavor. I can get the basics,
sure.
But she can pick the nuances. So we started talking a little bit back and forth. Yes.
You know what? I think I'm just going to be a comedian for you. How about that?
You are great at that.
Okay. All right.
Comic relief.
Yeah.
So we started talking a little bit about that. And she's like, well, there's got to be something out there that already does this and kind of helps you the way we talk about it. So we started looking. There is not an app for that, or at least not yet. That's why we're building the Bar Book. And that's kind of how we got to this point of starting this journey.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool. Were you always big into the alcohol industry? Were you like, you know, wine snobs, whiskey snobs, or?
So I'm a wine snob, right? So I get really upset when I have bad wines. And I quickly learned after being stationed in different countries that an expensive bottle of wine doesn't make it taste better than a cheap bottle of wine, right? You just got to figure out what you like. And so when Michael and I started dating and talking to each other, we would go to restaurants and I would order a bottle of wine and be like, oh, you know, what's the afternotes? What are the afternotes? What does this taste like? And he's looking at me like I'm crazy. But then I realize when he orders his bourbons or whiskeys, he does the same thing. He just doesn't realize that's what he's doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she knows those nuanced flavors and I don't. And as we're talking about these different spirits, my original exposure to a cocktail is, you know, Jack and Coke. Like when somebody would tell me, oh, great cocktail, I'd be like, yeah, like rum and Coke, Jack and Coke, the basics. She can roll her eyes at that because, and now I can too. But yes. In the beginning, that's all I knew.
Sure.
I knew a little bit when it came to craft beers because I was enlisted in the military. So, you know, money was not as free flowing as other career fields. So, well, that's true. But so, you know, when we're going through this, you know, experimenting with different flavors, beer is easier. It's cheaper. And, you know, you start from a Bud Light and then eventually you get to some small craft brewery somewhere and you start liking the different, you know, nuanced flavors. But you don't know how to describe them. At least I didn't.
Sure.
Yuck.
So, you know, I knew enough about beers that there were differences, but I didn't know enough to get into spirits. As I started to learn about spirits, I realized they're a lot more expensive and I didn't have the money to try all these different bottles and learn what I would like. I mean, we had friends that would, you know, here, try this bottle or try this sample, and some were good and some weren't. But that was the only way I could really experiment.
But
and,
spirits, sorry, I am going to interrupt you. But spirits are the same way. Just because something is expensive,
Very much so.
Doesn't mean that it's going to suit your palate, that it's going to taste good, or that everybody else is going to like it.
Oh, 100%.
So when we were in Kentucky and we were in Louisville, that's how I fell in love with spirits because we went to this one restaurant and I flat out told them, I hate bourbon, I hate whiskey, just give me your wine list, right? And the bartender looked at me and she goes, are you crazy? You're in Louisville, first of all, right? But then she started asking me about my palate. She's like, what type of wines do you like? What do you like to eat? And so she made me this old fashioned and it wasn't your standard old fashioned with orange bitters. She put lavender bitters in it. Yes. And I picked it up. Oh, the other thing was, is that I had a really bad experience in college with wild turkey. And
I think
and,
I did too.
Yeah, right. And so what's the distillery that makes Russell's? Because they also make wild turkey.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Well, yeah, yeah, right. And so I was like, no, I don't want to do anything with that. And she goes, I'm going to give you a Russell's 10 and I'm going to make an old fashioned with it. And you're going to love it based on what you've told me. I picked up this drink and drank it. And if I didn't have to go to work the next morning, I would have sat there all night and just drank them over and over and over again. So the cool thing about this app is that people like me who don't know what they're doing can quickly figure out what they're doing and what they like. And now, as you can see, I'm drinking an old fashioned and I love it.
Beautiful.
Yes.
A little modified old fashioned, but yes.
Yes. So tell me, like, how did it come to be? What was the first? I'm that sounds like a daunting task to create an app with an algorithm that says try these things.
So first off, starts with the idea that we want to build this thing that's going to capture flavors, right, and pair you with some sort of flavors. We start, books of notes and like writing everything down and trying to figure that stuff out. That's where you start.
Right.
That's a lot of work and a lot of putting it together. And then you start trying to ask, well, how do I put this all together? And where is this? What kind of platform do I share this with? We called a few friends, called a few family members, started talking to different people about, what do we know about building an app or a website or anything like that? They encouraged a lot of just, hey, jump, right? Just go. Just.
Did they really?
Some did, some didn't. Okay. You're right. Okay. No, just, I mean, just, you're right. But some just said, we're like, hey, why not? What's it going to hurt? Go for it. So we started making phone calls, started calling some different people, and kind of working down that road. I think, and I'll own this one because this was, I made this decision in the beginning, was I think I got a little ahead of my skis and not knowing what I don't know. And I hired the first developer that I thought would do great things for me, right? Like they said all the right things. Even the friends that we had talked to said, make sure I ask these questions. And they answered them all the right ways. I was like, got this. This is going to work. Problem is, they made it seem too easy. And you know what? It seemed too easy because it wasn't going to be that easy and they were just blowing smoke. But I learned a lot from that experience with that developer and they taught me a lot. Now, they didn't get me to the finish line, but they got me far enough along to where I had a product in my hand that made us probably a little more hungry for it, right?
Okay.
Showing us what we can do next. The next thing we did is we got with a different development company and they're the full picture. This team does everything from the mentorship on the business side to the marketing side to, helping us go along. And it's huge in pushing us to the next steps. But, that's the product journey, right? The journey is, going back to the very beginning of what we wanted to accomplish or what we're still trying to accomplish is matching flavors with people, right? Like what do people want and what flavors do they like? The name comes out of that same kind of mantra, right? The term bar book is the intellectual property of a bartender, right? If you ever look behind a bar and a bartender's got a little notebook where they're writing stuff down or their phone, whatever they're using to write it down, that's where the name comes from. That is called a bar book, right? That's their little intellectual property for it. And in the very scenario that she's talking about where that bartender picked out the kind of bourbon she's going to like and the kind of bitters she's going to like and matched it with her wine list and likes and dislikes, and then made a cocktail that she fell in love with, that's what we want this to be for everybody else. Without the 10 to 15 years of knowledge that it takes to actually build that book, right? We're trying to shortcut it a little bit.
So it's based on individuals putting in their own reviews.
Yes.
And then those reviews curate ideas or suggestions based on that.
So, yes. So what happens is you put in your reviews and then the app gets to know you. Mm. So if you like a certain type of bourbon with a certain type of flavors, it will start to recommend, hey, if you like X, why don't you try Y? And so eventually you'll be able to build your own bar book. So when you go out to eat or, out to drink or somewhere, you can look at your app and say, hey, I like this. You know, I do that. I mean, I look at my phone for wines and all the other things. Like, I know I like this. So this is what I want to try. So why not do that for cocktails, right? Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I've ordered a lot of cocktails that suck.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yeah. It really makes me mad because especially in the post-COVID world, people don't, you know, wave off stuff on bills like they used to. So like a perfect example was the other night we went out for Valentine's Day. I love vodka martinis, but I had always heard, no, a real martini is gin, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it. It sucked, right? Like it absolutely sucked. So I know to go into the bar book and put in for me, for my taste, like, no, this will never happen. It will never work. I didn't even finish it. I sent it back. So if we can save people that pain, then, hey, I'm all for it. We're the doctors of the whiskey world, world, right? Like we're going to save you from making mistakes.
Is it just spirits or are you like,
no,
just
so
all?
It is. So, you know, backing up a little bit, what Dolly's saying there, it is spirits, beer, liqueurs, everything but wine, basically okay. Anything with alcohol, but wine. Wine is its own nuanced genre, I guess if that's what you want to call it, but it's its own area, right? The flavors and the barrels and the ages and the grapes, like that is a whole nother thing. I got it. Bourbon has its own culture and tequila has another culture and beer has a whole different, but flavors kind of cross in some of those lines, right? There may be a barrel aging note to certain things, you know, whether it be a tequila or a beer or whatever, and they may carry through, right? So in the beginning, where we're going to start when we release next month is this is going to come out as flavor matching bottles to bottles, right? And I mean that in beer, seltzers, wines, whatever, everything but wines. It's going to match the distiller's tasting notes with tasting notes of other bottles. And that's how it's going to initially start, learning you through that process. As it grows, eventually it's going to tell you what you'll like across different spectrum. So if all you're rating is bourbons, you know, it's going to match you in the very beginning, bottle to bottle, bourbon to bourbon. Eventually it's going to morph into, if you like these kind of bourbons, here are some beers you'll like. Here are some tequilas you'll like.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuanced though.
Correct. It is nuanced.
Just because a distillery says, oh, this is an oaky whatever with vanilla on the back end. And then you drink it and you're like, no, that's not what I'm tasting. You're going to register that in the app and then it's going to direct you and guide you towards other things.
Correct.
So how many times have you ever had a tequila or a bourbon or, you know, a whiskey or gin or whatever? And they say, oh, you're going to love it because it tastes just like whatever.
Sure.
And then you drink it and you're like, this doesn't. Yeah. No. Right. So it kind of helps you guide through that process as well.
And this isn't your typical rate and review, right? So if you've looked at a lot of the other competitors in the same marketplace out there, they do rate and review. And that's great. Like we love that. But a broad rating of a bottle, let's use one of the biggest names like a Blanton's or a Weller's or one of those. A broad rating is going to say huge, right? It's going to say that, oh my gosh, that's 5 out of 5, right? Somebody's going to rate it that way. But it may be 5 out of 5, but it's not 5 out of 5 for everybody.
Sure.
And so that's where this comes into play. Like, that rating is great for the product. And that rating is great for the market. That rating does nothing for you as the person who likes it. You may like the $20 bottle from somewhere else, and it makes absolutely no sense to chase down Blanton's for $2.50 in D.C.
But we love Blanton's. So whoever's listening, just so you know.
Sponsor.
No, I'm just saying, like, Blanton's is a good bottle, right?
No, but I love that though, because there's a lot of distrust in the market right now because of the inflated pricing. Because people have this perception that, like, Blanton's or Weller's, which is, it's great stuff.
I love both of them.
It is overinflated because everyone wants to buy it because they think it's the best, and it might not be the best for them.
Right. And the other thing, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I'm really not sorry to interrupt. I interrupted you. But the other thing is that it also depends on where you live. So my family lives in South Carolina. And so every time we go down to South Carolina, we stop by the liquor stores down there because there are bottles in D.C. Perfect example is the Old Fitzgerald we have over there. Mm. In D.C., that bottle is over $1,000. You go down to Florence, South Carolina. Hello. And you get the bottle for $400. Right.
Right.
So it just also depends on where you live, geography, you know, whatever, which will influence what you drink and what you don't drink because it's what you can afford and what. You know, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what's cool is the bar book takes out that guesswork.
Yes.
That a bottle, like I love a bottle and bond Old Granddad.
Yeah.
$30
You just made my chest hurt.
See, it's not for everyone.
Oh my God, that burns. That burns. Thinking about it. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But I think taking the cost out of the perception is a big key of this. And I think what you guys sound like you're doing is something that's really cool. And I'm actually surprised there isn't something else out there that has tried.
So we were the same way, right? So initially we had this conversation and I talked with a very small group of people about this in the beginning. Like, let me look up. And there are competitors. Don't get me wrong. This space is not empty. But there are competitors. They just don't do it with all the features that we're talking about here. And so our basis is not rate review. Our basis is flavor matching to you, right? So that's where that little unique difference is we're pulling down the flavors of these bottles and cans or whatever. And we're pulling down the flavors and then telling that back to you in what you'll like versus just saying, you know, I love that bottle. I don't love that bottle. Okay, but why? Yeah. Why do you love that bottle versus the other one?
Right, right.
And that's a little, I mean, it's a little difference, but it's a big difference. We did look, you know, multiple times at different apps across the spectrum to look for somebody who's doing something similar. They're not. Lots of rate and reviews, lots of rate, review, and buy. They'll sell you like distributor type deals with these. But nothing that was doing some sort of, let me tell you, if you like this bottle, here's 10 others that match it.
Because we care about you.
Is there, have you looked, I'm curious if there's any like larger distilleries like Heaven Hill who might have an in-house type matchmaker on their website, because it might make sense for them to do it for themselves. Like, if you like this, you might like this.
So it would make sense for them to do it in-house for themselves for their brand.
Right.
They're not going to share you out. So they do post their tasting notes, and that's a lot of cumbersome research to go through. I mean, quite honestly, most people that go to buy a bottle are not going to pull up Heaven Hill's website and pull down the tasting notes for each bottle and go, right. I like this one or do I like this one? Okay.
Unless you're OCD like me.
Like, most of them aren't going to do that. They're going to go off a recommendation from a friend or a buddy or a bartender and go, what do you like?
Right.
And do you think I'll like this? And sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. Mm-hmm. All we're doing is giving them a way to record those same things. And we take that out. We take that work out for you because we've already gone to Heaven Hill's website. We've already gone to everybody else's website and pulled down their tasting notes and put them in here for you. And now there's an algorithm that will just pull words.
Very cool.
And pull matches and share with you, you know, as close as we can. And I, you know, we don't expect this to come out day one and be this super perfect product. There's going to be bumps in the road as it comes out. And we're going to keep improving it as we go. But that's where we're starting, right? We're starting from there.
So how does it work with the product? Do you have to go to these people and say, hey, do you mind if we put your stuff on our website or our app? Or can you do it without their consent?
So the beauty is, because I'm not asking them for money and I'm basically free advertising for them, rate and review is free market, right? You can go out there and do it. Did all the research about the copyrights and the pictures and all that kind of stuff. And as long as it's rate and review type stuff like that, you're good. I'm not selling their product and I'm not making anything off of it. Matter of fact, the Bar Book will be a free app when it comes out on the marketplace, right? That's all where this is. It is free publicity for every brand that goes on there. We do go out to places and have conversations with them, talk to them about their tasting notes. Because there are a lot of smaller distilleries and breweries that don't have a in-depth review of their own product, right? They're like, hey, we make a bourbon. Hey, we make a tequila. Hey, we make a vodka. And even some of the bigger ones don't do that, right? They just say, you know, there's some charred oak in there, right? But it just depends on how they do it. So we do contact them as soon as we add their product. I send out an email to every one of the brands and say, hey, your stuff was added. Please go back and take a look and let me know if we got it right. Because if we didn't put something right in your flavors, we want to correct that immediately because the algorithm doesn't work without what you have.
Right.
That doesn't mean they can shape it, right? They can't go in and be like, let's put every word in there possible so it matches with everything. That's not how this works. But get it right. Tell me exactly what your distiller says this is supposed to taste like or what went into it so we can build it the correct way.
Very cool.
Yes.
Well, kudos to that, guys.
I mean, it's a lot of work. So yeah. I will tell you that it is a lot of painstaking work to sit there, a lot of data entry. We are, like I said, in the beginning of this, we're sitting at about 6,000 products that we've got built into the site now. We focused heavily in the beginning on the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, sure. Right? Because that's where we're at. It did add major brands, right? Because everybody wants to know what brands they can compare things to. Well, we did start heavily in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area and just looking for how to bring up a small brand that can't compete with advertising dollars of a larger brand, right? And that's kind of the conversation we have when we go out to these distilleries and breweries and talk to them is, I don't want anything from you. I don't need any money from you. I'm not asking for anything from you. Literally, I just want to get your product right because in this market, if I live in Virginia, I need to know what's available to me. And you may not know everything that's available to you. You may not know everything you like that's available to you. You just know that I got to go sit out in front of the liquor store Friday at 8 a.m. because the drop happens at 10 and I got to wait for a bottle.
I've been there.
We have friends that do that quite often, and they go out there and do it, like, and you got to check this out. I'm like, I'll just drive to South Carolina. It's okay.
Oh, sorry. So that's our clock that sings to you on the hour.
No, it's perfect.
So it will be done in about 10 seconds. Unfortunately, you can't see it, but it moves. It opens up. It closes back. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good. That's awesome. I'm gonna give it a second, though. I don't want to edit.
You can also switch it to Christmas music.
There you go. That's pretty cool. I grew up with cuckoo clocks.
Oh.
So, cuckoo.
I'm familiar with that. God. I was in Germany for 2 years.
Yeah, so, both the ones my dad has are from Germany.
Yes, Bavaria. Yeah.
No, so I'm kind of curious, too. Has there been a reception in the market that has... Has it been good or a variance of people going, or this is awesome? What's it been
overwhelmingly,
like?
It has been very well received.
Like good.
The vast majority. There have been a few that are skeptical. I got that.
Sure.
And there should be, right? Because you're not doing your job if everybody's not.
But the few that are skeptical, it's really our family, right? Because they're wondering, what are we doing? I was about to curse, but I'm not going to. But they're wondering, what are we doing and why? And just go get a 9-to-5 job and make money. And why are we chasing alcohol? Like, they just don't get it.
Right.
But our friends and our colleagues that have learned about what we're doing, they support it and they understand. Awesome. I don't want to say it's exhausting, but as someone who came from I like wine, but coming into spirits and beer, it's overwhelming to look at that market and figure out what you like and what you don't like.
Absolutely.
And so people who want to learn or who already understand, they get what we're trying to do. But our moms, they're not happy. They're not happy at all, right?
Well, and so, that portrays even into the market when we've gone to professional events. When you go to a whiskey washback type event or a distiller's event, and you go to these kind of events, you just have conversation with people. 99% are like, wow, that sounds amazing. Like, that's really cool. Like, really, you're building that? Like, that they are really interested. Like, hey, let me know when it's out. Like, I want to take a look and play along with that a little bit more. They're very curious and receptive to the idea. There's a couple that are like, yeah, I don't see how that'll ever work. But, you know, you're like I said, you're going to get that back and forth as you go. But the vast majority are really anticipating this.
And they're also scared. Mm. So we have spoken to distilleries and breweries, and they're scared about their ratings on the bar book, right? Right. So they're not sure whether they want to participate. And it doesn't matter how someone rates you, because it's about them. And if they love you, they're going to refer other people to you and, you know, vice versa.
Yeah.
So, but it is funny when Michael goes out to people, they're like, what does this mean? Like, like, are people going to hate me? Like, what's going to happen?
No. Yeah. We've had that conversation. Some of them would be like, you know, yeah, we've been scared about what people think about our product. It's like, great. You found two people that don't like what you have, but here's 15 others that are loving what you do.
Sure.
And
yeah.
And it, you know, and here's 10 more that didn't even know you existed, but now you end up in a flavor match with them and they're like, well, try that one out. So it works for everybody, like I said, but it is not going to make, you are not going to find one bottle that a 100% of everybody's going to say, that's it. That is the one for me.
Right.
It's just not going to work that way. Everybody has a different palate, a different profile.
Well, and part of what I'm doing this with the podcast is going around to different distillers and brewers, et cetera, talking to them. And I found very quickly that with these small operations, you could have the exact same recipe, the exact same water, the exact same barrel, and it'll still taste different.
Yes.
And to have that variety, I think most of these small businesses in the alcohol industry understand that they're not competitors. They're in this together.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try what you have, and you're going to try what I have, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the perception is that these big players like Buffalo Trace or Jack Daniels are here to rule the market forever and don't want anybody else shuffling the cards. I don't think that's true, but people buy what they see on TV. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious to see, you know, Barbuck in the next 5 to 10 years,
So am I.
No, I mean, we are too. And for that same very reason, right? We've got the, you know, we've got the path drawn out, right? We know where we want to be in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years. Like we've done that. What it looks like and how exactly we get there, you know, it's going to take some time. And really our users are going to dictate a lot of that, kind of how we go. But the beginning is going to start out March. We've got a first sponsoring event. There's a there's a whiskey walk in DC. It's essentially bar hopping with Irish whiskey, and we are going to go and talk to all the people that are going to participate and tell them about the bar book and, you know, ask them to download the app and rate it, because our apps will be launched by then. And download it, rate all the stuff that they try, and then we'll do some prize packs on the back end to give away some, you know, stuff like hoodies or t-shirts or whatever.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
But yeah, so I mean, we're going to do that. That's our first promo event, and then there's a couple others where we're looking at for the future. But I mean, that's what it is. We want to get the word out there and get to talking to people and telling them what they can do with this. That's step one, is again, users, you know, trying it out. It's a totally free app. We're not charging anybody anything. Eventually there'll be an ad version to it, right? Everybody goes that route. But what we don't want, and I've seen with several of the competitors, we don't want to overload our users with ads. I don't want to go so far that you spend more time reading ads than you do actually using the product.
Right.
So that's not where we want to go. And we want to bring awareness, attention, brand awareness, whatever you want to call it, to craft brewers and distillers, if that's a category you want to label it.
Right.
We want to bring attention to them, to the little guy and gal that can't compete with, like you said, Buffalo Trace, Heaven Hill, Jack Daniels. They just can't get there.
Right.
Oh, I got it. They don't have billions of dollars. But on this platform, all are equal. And it really, all you have to do is be on the platform and you're a level playing field. You know, your advertising dollars only mean that if you pay for an ad, maybe you'll get a spot somewhere. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to show you more of their product. It just means you're on there.
What has been the biggest uphill battle part of this? Has it been getting the word out, the marketing? I found for like just doing the podcast has been like social media sucks.
You talk about personal or professional?
Yes. Yeah. How's your marriage? No, I'm kidding.
No, this is a...
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Is it more than you expected?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. You have a dream and you think, hey, we're just going to be able to put this together and move forward. And it's
magic. It'll just happen.
Right, right.
No, that's not how this
works. I'm a spoiled Southern Belle. That's how things happen, right? But no, it's been a lot of work. And I think it's just building the products, because people can't rate a product that's not on the app.
Right.
And there are tons of bourbons and whiskeys and gins, and like you just go on and on and on. It's almost infinity, like, right?
It feels that way sometimes.
It does. And then you also, we don't want to, you know, exclude anybody. So then we're doing the non-alcoholic, you know, things as well, because of, you know, dry January, you know, and all
well,
the
there's
other
a whole
things.
Market for that. There, right, it really right. is. There's so a whole group of people that want the same flavors.
You never get to a point to where you're like, okay, we're done.
Right.
Right. Everything's there. Like we're good to go. So I think that's the hardest part.
I'd say for me, on top of that, because that she's 100% right. Just the amount of work that just seems to never end, but that's entrepreneurship. Right. But I think the other piece is, so like I said, we're both retired military. When I walked away from the military, I was a sergeant major, walked out, and I thought I knew how to do this.
Because you're a sergeant major.
Right, because I was a sergeant major, right? I knew how to do this. Talking to soldiers and asking them to get things done versus talking to civilian contractors is night and day, and I couldn't even have fathomed that in the beginning.
Okay, stop. I'm sorry. You're being very polite. He retired as a sergeant major, which means he told people what to do, and they did it. And if they didn't do it, they got in trouble, right? So now he's learning how the rest of the world works, to where if they don't want to do what you don't want, they don't want to do, they just don't do it.
Well, and they sometimes just, you know,
and we're not being insulting when we say that, but it's a culture shock.
Oh, yeah.
It is a huge culture shock.
It's a different world, yeah.
Right? And so he'll be like, but I told them to do X, Y, and Z, and they only did Element OP, and I don't understand why they're not matching. And I'm like, because we're not in the Army.
Well, you should have, right? Like, DOD civilians are useless. You should have known.
Okay, so DOD civilians are not useless. Let's just say that. No one in DOD is useless, but there's a different culture and mentality. 100%. And in building a product that people don't know or understand comes with its own challenges.
So I learned a lot of that early on. That's one of the reasons that my first development team and I parted ways, right? Was there were a lot of these developers that come out, they are, they outsource and overseas a lot of stuff.
And we're not trashing developers.
No. But the product is that there's a time difference. There's a piece of, you know, I'm talking to a guy in Texas who's now talking to a guy in California who's also talking to somebody overseas somewhere. And that trail back, if I asked for an update or, hey, where are we at? We want to have a meeting. You know, there's days involved in getting a message back and forth. And then there's the telephone game, right? And then there's the language barrier. And there's all of those things that happen as you go back and forth between that. And then there's on side of, you know, English to another language, there's tech to somebody who doesn't understand tech. And so when you go through that back and forth, that was just unreal to me. Like, I didn't understand that because in the beginning, it was just like, I'm just talking to this person. Okay, and this person can do everything I needed him to do, right?
So let's translate. Anybody who's been in the military knows that sergeants major or E9 and other services, they have a knife hand, right? He was used to using the knife hand and getting his way, and the knife hand does not work anymore.
It does not.
Yes. Does not. No,
that does not. The good news is, like I said, is I have the development team we have now. they get that. They've done this 100 times with other people who have walked out of, you know, different corporate jobs or military jobs, whatever, and they get it. And, you know, John is my lead for that company. And John has talked to me several times about that kind of stuff. Like, look, I got you. Come on, Mike. We got this.
Put the knife hand down. Just put the knife hand down.
And they're very good at what they do. And so that's why we're able to get where we're going. So in March, this will be on the store. It is a nerve-wracking endeavor too, you know. Every time you think you've got everything done, there's always one more thing.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's, but it's fun. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you going in different directions. So why not?
I was going to say it's kind of a passion project that kind of probably consumed your life more than you thought it would, but in a good way, it sounds.
Yeah. And it's fun. So
it depends on the day.
I mean, it's fun too. Like, the people in this industry are fun, right?
Of course.
I mean, you know that from talking to the different ones.
Come on. Okay. So he's being very polite right now, right? We have a job where we get to drink and have fun. Like, no one's going to complain about that.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Yes. And I get to meet and talk to people about the products that they're passionate about and do whatever. I mean, it's great. I can't complain about that.
No, that's why I'm trying to make money off this show. drink and make money.
I get you. 100%. It's, like I said, it's great. It is, like you said, a passion project. And it's going in the right direction. Try not to get our hopes up too much because we know that there's a lot of work to get done before it's there. But it's getting there.
No, I love it. I do have one specific question about craft places because a lot of these places do really small one-offs.
Yep.
Are you avoiding those one-offs that are only available one time ever, or because you don't want to oversaturate your program?
So no.
Okay.
So that's kind of a two-way question. So initially, if I'm building, yes, I'm not going to put your specialty product in there just because not enough people are going to try it, especially if you make a very limited release.
Right.
Right. If you want it in there because you're specifically asking for it, you know, tell me, hey, you missed my one bottle, whatever, I'll put it in there. Like, that won't bother me at all. I'm not worried about, you know, too many products in the market. What it just doesn't make sense time wise to put it in there for enough people. But if you've got a following that's looking for that, sure. Later on, we're going to get to where we're going to turn it over to those craft distillers on a back-end access site, right? Where they can build their own products, build their own front page, right? Yeah. And they can put all their stuff in there themselves, and they can put every limited release they want and turn it in there and, you know, let people rate and review. Because especially if it's a bourbon or a tequila or something, you know, something bottled, they're going to, you know, maybe have that on the shelf for years to come, right? Even though they only made it for a year or for 6 months or whatever their period was, they may have that on the shelf for a little while.
Yeah.
So
is there a future in where there's going to be an e-commerce part of Barbook, or is there at least a back end, like, hey, where can you buy this if you like it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The answer is yes. Yeah. We're not there yet.
Sure.
But the answer is yes. Because
makes
that
sense.
Doesn't even make, yeah, it makes sense, yeah. Right? Like, why would you put all of these products up there if you're not going to guide people on where they can purchase them?
I guess, you know, I think of it from a more tech side. That is the right answer, right? Yes, is the right answer.
Thank you,
baby. I think of it from more of a tech side of it is what does that look like? Does that look like we create our own, if you will, Drizzly? No. Does that look like we, you know, create something like that? I don't think so. Maybe we link to one of those or something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly how the math works, but yeah, she's right. Yeah, there will be a...
He's the geek. I'm telling you it's going to happen, right?
She's because, right. No, it's, right. It's got to.
If you find something that you like, eventually we're going to help you find that.
Sure.
Because like we talked about before, every state is different. Every not all states have everything. So why are we going to have you rate something that you like if we can't help you find where you can get it?
Right.
Right. So
that makes sense.
We'll get it eventually.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, not without giving too much away to the future, there is we're starting with this beginning piece. We will go to a B2B business to business type model to, like I talked about, where companies can, you know, smaller distilleries can buy a back end access and build their products in there. We'll go a little bit further, and we want to open that up and get into bars and restaurants getting their own, or even bartenders getting their own. So if you think of it as a bartender, right? Alan has his own special, you know, cocktail that he makes. You could build your own Alan cocktail on there as a bartender. You pay for access to your page, right? Build your own Alan cocktail, and you could say, hey, I work over at this place. Come check me out and get my whatever. Or... you know, and it's got your flavor profile for that cocktail that would now match it. Well, you know what? I love Alan's drink. Let me find the next place that makes something similar to Alan's drink. Right. Again, that's down the road. That's where we're going.
Okay.
So if we can get there, that's it. That's
it. It's not an if. Like I said, he's the geeky part. Yes.
You're the doer.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
We're going to do it.
She is.
Yes.
That's great. Well, no, you guys have seemed like a pretty great
love
team.
You.
Okay. You seem like a pretty good team though. I mean,
no, we are. That's kind of the foundation for a lot of things.
You just hesitated on that.
Oh, come on now.
We're a good team. I promise. We're good. Yeah.
The stand-up portion of the show.
Say yes, dear.
Yes, you're supposed to say yes, dear. Yes. Yes.
Well, is there any other, I don't know, big tidbits that you can get? Like, let us know. It launches in March, and I'm gonna do my best to get this to come out with you guys coming out. But
yeah.
What does the future look like in the first year? What's the goal?
So the first year, the goal is to obviously get it out on all the, you know, it'll be on the Apple Store and the Google Play and the Apple Store. That'll come in March. And then from there, it's really a lot of marketing and advertising. Like you talked about, that's a very complex individual itself.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of marketing and advertising getting through the first year. And then, like I said, we're building the business to business piece. That's as soon as this goes out, that's where we go to next. Is start looking at how do we build the business to business back end and start launching that, you know, as a model upgrade.
Awesome.
But in 15 years, right? 10 to 15 years, because we love football, our goal is there's going to be a bar book bowl. So you know how you have the Gator Bowl?
Put it on your calendar.
You have,
that's what
like,
we want.
All of, that is our goal, is that we want our own bowl game. So
okay.
We're going to get rid of all these crazy name bowls that you see.
Tostitos Bowl.
Yeah, well, Tostitos is pretty big. but you see these other bowls, you're like, what? What is that? And who's playing in it? A bar book bowl.
We do want a bar book bowl.
There's going to be a bar book bowl.
We do. We are big football fans.
We are big football fans, and there will be an SEC team in the bar book bowl. Just so you know.
Oh, you're not biased at all.
Oh, I don't know with that. I'm biased for the bar book, and I'm biased for the SEC. Roll Tide. So,
hotty toddy.
Yeah. There we go. Yes.
Sorry. Now we're already picking who's in it, who's going to win it.
I'm just saying.
It's a script. It's just like the NFL. It's scripted.
It's going to be an SEC team.
You want to write this down on a napkin? So
and then we can do this in 15 years. And be like,
no, that's you know, it's we're laughing about it, but it actually is a pretty awesome goal.
Yes.
Because
we're going to have our bowl.
It is. It's realistic.
It sounds like a joke, but literally on our dry erase board downstairs, it's really written on the top of the board. Down
that's
there. Like,
that's
that
awesome.
That is the future goal that we just want to achieve.
Bar book bowl.
Yeah.
Be cute.
I mean, you got to have a big goal, right? You have to have an aspiration, something you're shooting to that far out. And that's what we've got. Like, that's it.
Our biggest argument will be where it will be, right? right?
I think when the guys come knocking on your door saying, "Hey, we want you to name or buy naming rights," mm-hmm. you might not care at that point. You might, yes.
No, I will, because I need to go to a bowl game where it's warm. Okay. No one wants to go somewhere cold, right? In December,
that's
in January.
Fair. That's fair.
And if I can get into the college playoffs, right? To where, right? If we can knock off the Rose Bowl, that would be fantastic, right?
I don't think that's ever going to happen. Okay, it is fine. The Rose Bowl, maybe.
Well, and the next goal should be part of Neuralink so that you can just scan your cocktail with your eyes with the next iteration of
Apple had a visual of that. Vision that was Pro. Awesome. Put the Oculus on.
Yeah, the Meta Quest or whatever.
Yeah.
That's you walk into the virtual bar in the bar book.
Okay, yeah. You guys think I'm joking. We're going to have a bowl.
No, I do not think you're joking, baby. I said it's on the board.
Part of the playoffs. Part of the playoffs.
That's a little aspirational.
Listen, but, I'm there. I look forward to seeing that.
No one talks about the Sugar Bowl or Cotton Bowl anymore, so I'm just saying it can be another bowl.
I look forward to seeing that come to fruition. Yes, I think it happens.
Yes,
I think it happens. But no, this has been great, and I appreciate you guys having me. And I look forward to seeing what becomes of Barbook, because I've been super interested in what you guys are doing. It's been fun to watch you guys grow, and lots more to grow, lots more to do. And I'm excited to see it go.
Yes.
Yeah, so, we are too, man. We are.
But
it's been a lot of fun getting this far, so man, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Well, cheers to you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Woo-hoo! Cheers. There you go. Did you just gulp that down?
Yeah, the last little swig of that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Because we were actually drinking.
Can you keep that part? I was drinking mine, but I started with the...
If you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate a follow and share on social media, subscribe to our YouTube, and be sure to give us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Everything you see and hear is out of pocket for us, including travel. If you support our mission of showcasing the amazing stories behind these small businesses, do me a favor and head over to buymeacoffee.com/craftedconvos. Buy Me a Coffee is an awesome way to help creators like me with simple one-time donations or a monthly contribution. Every dime goes into giving these breweries, distilleries, and more some much-deserved limelight. If you have any questions or concerns, please reach out. Cheers!